Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate all of you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Appreciate you. You can be seated. Let's get our Bibles open to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Thank you. Let's be seated. And you guys are awesome. You guys are great. Crazy. Let's take our Bibles and open them to Mark chapter number 8. Oh, there we go. Little synchronization there. Appreciate that. And wonderful. That was a beautiful song. Beautiful song. Sung by a beautiful person and a guy that won't go away. But anyways. No. Hey, love you guys. Love both you guys. Appreciate both you guys. Living for God, loving God. And I really do. And Brother Bussy, good to have you here, man. Good to have you here. Pleasant surprise. And amen. Man, I love the college, don't you? It's a great place. It's a great place. I'm thankful for this place and the work that God did in my heart as a student and the work that he continues to do here. And I appreciate all the shout-outs to HB this morning. Appreciate that. Appreciate it. That's good. We need more of that. How many of you are from HB again? Would you raise your hand? You're from HB? All right, I'll take it. Several didn't raise their hand. They're not paying attention, but that's all right. I'm used to it, but no. And I gotcha. Mark chapter number 8. Let's see what the Bible has for us this morning. Pray for me as soon as chapel's over, and I apologize. I'd love to stick around, but literally like a minute before chapel's over, I need to leave, and I'm heading to preach tonight in Connecticut, and so if you'd remember me in prayer, I'd appreciate that, and I've got to make a quick flight, and praying that all of that works out. I preached this thought at our church this summer, so most of you weren't here. It was on a Sunday night, just right in the beginning of the summertime. And I had no idea that it would become the theme verse, the theme prayer, really the theme thought of the summer. I was, but it has. It's a passage of scripture, and it's a thought that means so much to me. And I've thought about it. I'd say most days, if not every day. I don't know that I can say every day, but most days I've thought about it. I've prayed it, and I've asked God to do this work in my life. It started because I was kind of looking at the summer, and it was busy. And I knew it was busy. And I was walking around our neighborhood with my wife, who graduated from Hammond Baptist in 1997. But I was walking around our neighborhood, and we were you know, talking about the summer, and I was thinking about the camps I would be at and the different places, the different camps just about every week. I was thinking about our youth conference that time was coming up. I was thinking about I had a 6-week span there. And I wrote it down in 6 weeks where I would preach in Canada and Ohio and Kentucky, Indiana, Arkansas, a couple of New England states, Connecticut, Mississippi, and most of those weeks preaching 7 to 10 times. And I knew it was coming up, and we were walking around the neighborhood, and I had this thought in my heart, and the thought was, man, I've got nothing. You ever been there, Brother Bussy? Got nothing. And I'm going to be in all these places and preach to all these people. And I'm thankful, and God's opened those doors, and I'll walk through them as long as he opens them by the grace of God. But I thought to myself, I have nothing. Nothing. I have sermons. That's not a problem. But you need more than sermons. You need something from God. In Mark chapter number 8, I want you to look at this passage here. Look at verse number 22. The Bible says, and it's an unusual story in the Bible, but I want us to focus in on one concept. The Bible says in Mark 8, 22, and he, that's Jesus, cometh to Bethsaida. They bring a blind man unto him, besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes, put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. This blind man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again. Everybody say that word again on three. One, two, three. Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. He was restored. Boy, how we need restoration in our families, in our churches, in our country. Just that healing work that only God can do. The Bible says that he was restored and saw every man clearly, and he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. I knew coming into the summer that I had sermons. But what I needed was I needed a touch from God. I needed God to touch me again. I needed God to do a work again in my life. I needed God to do an anointing, a filling. I don't know what to call it. And I don't want to misrepresent what I'm talking about, but a restoration of joy and of power and of impact and of Holy Ghost unction. And I needed God. Hey, preaching a sermon has not been a problem for a long time, but preaching a sermon in the power of God and in the energy of God is not guaranteed to everyone that opens the Bible. And I knew going into the summer, man, I need the Lord. He's touched me before, but I need God to touch me again. Maybe you're here this morning and you've lost that joy that you've once had. You've lost that enthusiasm that used to be real in your life. Those tears and compassion that were very present last semester aren't really as available right now. That first love for soul winning, that zeal to get out there and to do something, that feeling when you first got saved. Maybe you've lost some of that and you're dry this morning and you're coming up empty this morning. Let me tell you what you need. You need God to touch you again, to touch you again. I want you to notice in verse 22 that they brought this man to Jesus. And look at what they did. They besought him to touch him. They knew that only the touch of God could fill this man's need. They knew that it was the touch of Jesus that would do the job for this poor blind man. And Jesus did touch him. In verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand and spit upon his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught. So Jesus did touch this man. But then in verse 25, look at it, it's right there. And after all of that, put his hands again upon his eyes. Put his hands again upon his eyes. Made him look up and he was restored. You know, I got thinking about this passage and I've been thinking about it for some time. I am thankful for the work that God has done in my life. I'm thankful when I think about my salvation. Boy, that's a story I could tell again and again and again. I am thankful for the moment that God saved my soul. How many of you are happy that you're saved today? I am, man. I'm happy. I'm grateful. I'm appreciative. I mean, my cup is running over. The fact that I've been born again, the fact that God reached way down to save me, I am excited about it. I hope that you're excited about it. And I never never do this, but I'm going to do it right now. If you're sitting here right now, and man, you're glad that you're saved, and you remember the moment that you got saved, and you want to take a minute or two to tell us about it, not 10, but you want to take a minute or two to tell us about it. Do we have any students at Hiles Anderson that don't mind reliving their salvation for us out loud publicly? Please, Zach, go ahead. Stand up. Tell us about it for just a moment. Amen. That was on a Monday night, and God used a preacher, God used a friend of mine, and Zach got saved. Go ahead, Tommy, tell us about it. Man, Tommy got saved, I think, maybe. But he got saved. Go ahead, right here. You too. Go ahead, yes. Go ahead, come on, stand up. Praise the Lord. Go right ahead. On a church bus, hey, listen. I am thankful that God has done a saving work in my life. Not only a saving work, but I can remember with great fondness the moment that God placed the calling on my life to be a preacher of the gospel. Boy, if I think about it long, I'll well up with tears. I can remember everything about that Thursday night. And I've retold the story again and again. And boy, with great fondness and with great wonder, I marvel at the fact that when God could have called anybody at that camp, when God could have touched anybody, he reached down and he touched the bus kid's heart and he placed a calling on my life to be a preacher. Boy, I love the work of God. Hey, I can look at my Bible and I can see certain markings and I come to certain pages that are tear-stained and I can remember reading those pages in my devotions and God working and stirring. And boy, I'm so glad that God has moved in my life in the past and I wouldn't trade those moments for anything. But sometimes, friend, I need God to touch me again. Man, I'm thankful for the past, but the past doesn't always fill the need of today. I need something fresh. I need something new. I'm glad for the work that he's done, but he's brought us here, and I need him to touch me again that I might do the job today for the Lord. I want you to notice three things in this passage before we shut it down. Number one, if you need God to touch you again, I want you to look at verse number 23, and I want you to look at what Jesus did. The Bible says he took the blind man by the hand, and look at it, led him out of the town. Here's what I've got written down. He separated him. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus didn't always do that. Most of the time, he healed blind eyes where he met them. He healed lame legs where he met them. He put people back together, disease conditions where he met them. However, in this passage, he led him out of the town. There is a work of God that can only be done through separation. There is a work that God will only do in isolation. There is a touch, hey, young men, young ladies, there is a touch that God only gives in secret. There is something that can only happen when you separate yourself from the crowd and you separate yourself from the noise and you get away from the busyness and you pray the price and you find the secret place. And hey, that's what I'm talking about. I need a touch that comes from separation. Maybe God can't touch you while you're tied to your phone or with the crowd or until you're willing to tear yourself away from work and play for a while that he might touch you again. You see, isolation is key to being touched by God in a fresh way. When I left my Old Testament survey class, I got in my car and I just drove up behind the gym and I wanted to relive those moments as a student. We're in isolation. For the Millen, when nobody knew who Abdel Judah was and nobody cared. When in isolation, I would go back up there and I would find a tree, Brother Mitchell, and walk around that tree and beg God for the power of God and for the direction of God. Boy, I went back up there and I thought to myself just a few minutes ago, boy, I never want to be so busy. I never want to be so in such a hurry where I lose that secret place, because there is a power and a refreshing that can only come through separation. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh intermeddleth with all wisdom. He separated him. Number two, I want you to see something else. He surprised him. Do you see it in verse number 23? The Bible says he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and look at what he did when he had spit on his eyes. And he spit in his face. I know there's people in the room that know the Bible better than I do. But I've Brother Bussey, I've gone to Bible Manners and Customs. I've studied the Hebrew. You know, I'm trying to figure out what is it? Why? The best I can figure out, when you got spit in the face, when they spit in your face in Jesus' day, it meant about the same thing that it means today. Hey, nobody wants to be spit in the face. It's surprising. Go ahead, try. No, I'm just kidding, but it's it's shocking. I mean, it is stunning. As a matter of fact, you can do a lot of things to me. I mean, you can call me names, you can do a lot of things, but man, it is game on. If you spit in my face. How many of you are with me? How many of you men are with me? You know what? Look. He spit in his face, shocks him, no doubt, surprises him, no doubt. This man does nothing. There's not a reaction. There's nothing. He spit in his eyes and put his hands upon him. And there's nothing there. There's not a repulsion. There's nothing. There's not a man, I've had enough, and let me get out of here, and this is crazy, and I shouldn't have come to him in the first place. No, there's none of that. You see, this man, I believe, was at the point of full surrender. There was nothing you could do to shock him. There was nothing you could say to surprise him. There was nothing he wasn't willing to do to have that restorative touch of God on his life. And friends, sometimes when you beg God to touch you again, you'll be surprised at what happens. You'll be surprised at what he brings to mind. You'll be shocked almost at what he wants you to do. I was rehearsing this morning in my Old Testament survey class and talking about my call to West Virginia, Brother Bussey, my call to West Virginia. You know as well as anybody, that's a different place. Brother Stallnaker, man, that's a different place. I had never left Chicago much in my life. Born and raised on the South Side, and now I'm in Bible college. God, lead me. God, lead me. God, use me. God, touch me. God, fill me. God, would you please? And I get a phone call. Back in those days, it was caller ID, and I didn't have there were cell phones out, but I didn't have one. And I get a phone call, and it's from a 304 area code. And I picked up the phone, and different pastors would call, and I had a little atlas thing there by the phone, where I could look at cities. This is wild. Yeah, this is like 100 years ago, but didn't just Google the population. I had to look it up and find the name and see how many people lived in the town. And Pastor Lamb called, and he said, "This is Mike Lamb, Landmark Baptist Church." I said, "Oh, Pastor Lamb, wonderful. I had never talked to him before." And I said, "Where's Landmark at?" He said, "It's in Parkersburg, West Virginia." I'm flipping to West Virginia. I'm going to Parkersburg because, you know, I can't be in a small town. And I can't. That's what I was thinking of then. And I've got to have a lot of people to reach. And I've got to be able to stay busy and all of this stuff. I've got to build, you know. And so I'm looking up, and he said, "You're looking up the population, aren't you?" I said, close up, "No." And I said, "Yes." He said, "About 30,000 people. We have about 30,000 people in Parkersburg." I said, "Okay, 30,000 people. That's like Cherville, you know. And I was like, "Okay." He began to talk about West Virginia and asked me to come down. And well, I went down and had the visit. And it's like I was telling the class, I'll spare you the details of the visit, but when it was all over, I was sitting at a Bob Evans, my wife and I, and I said, Minda, take a look around. Take a look around this valley. Take a look around these trees. I said, if they do the will of God and if we do the will of God, I think God's going to move us here. He's going to move us here. And I was shocked that God would take somebody from the city and move them to West Virginia. I was stunned that God would. I mean, the pace of life was so slow. And I can remember, you know, just thinking, well, I don't even know how to act in West Virginia. I didn't even know it was a state until a few months ago. I thought it was the western part of Virginia. And man, what in the world? Hey, but I'm either going to be surrendered or I'm not. I remember coming back here and my friend saying, West Virginia, what's down there? Who's the pastor? Mike Lamb, never heard of him. What's the church? Landmark Baptist, never heard of it. I mean, I remember all of that. And one of my closest friends to this day said, you'll go down there and you'll get buried down there. Everybody's going to forget who you are. Nobody knew who I was anyways. I've thought about that conversation, Brother Bussey, many times. One of the best things I ever did was go down there and get buried down there and find God down there and let God touch me again right down there in West Virginia. It was one of the best decisions of my ministry, especially in those early days. And I'm just saying that when you start asking God to touch you again, when you start begging God for something fresh and for something new, don't be surprised, don't be shocked. If he calls to remembrance some sin that needs to get settled, if he reveals some commitments that you've gone back on, he might just shock you with what he remembers and what he asks you to do. Are you willing today to be surrendered to whatever God wants? Lord, touch me again. Touch me again. And then next, not only did he shock him, and not only did he separate him, but I want you to look at verse number 25. The Bible says, and after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, and he made him look up. Took his head and he made him look up. He sighted him. That's what he did. Look at the only one that can give you what you need. The only one that can restore your eyesight. The only one that can give you what you're asking for. You see, friends, our anointing will not come from a pastor. It will not come from a sermon. It will not come from a song or a group. If we want God to touch us again, then we must sight ourselves looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We must fix our eyes on the Alpha and Omega, on the beginning and the end, the only one who can fill the need of the hour. Lord, touch us again. We get our eyes on all these things down here. We miss out on the blessing of God. A couple of extra thoughts. Number one, there was, in this passage, there was great need. A man was blind. Friends, there is great need in our country today. I don't have words for what happened yesterday. I don't have words for it. Frankly, I showed up today and I didn't want to teach. Not only am I teaching, I'm preaching. And not only am I preaching, I'm going someplace else to preach. And my heart is heavy. And I just look at our country and there is so much brokenness and so much blindness. And there's such great need. There's great need. Hiles Anderson College, there is great need in our country. I'm thankful. Look, I am thankful for every Christian doctor and every Christian lawyer and every Christian businessman. And if you get rich someday, remember me, all right? I am thankful. Look, I'm thankful for everybody who does the will of God. There is great need. Can I say it here? There's great need for preachers. There's great need for youth pastors. There's great need for Christian school teachers that don't just teach math and science and coach ball, but they're filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I'm telling you, there is great need. The need isn't the problem. But I see something else in the passage. Yesterday's miracle could not meet today's need. You see, Jesus has healed many blind eyes, and Jesus had even touched this man one time, but he needed something more. He needed something fresh. He needed to be touched again. Surely God could have healed him the first time. Surely one touch could have done it, but it's in the Bible for a reason, and I think it's there to show us that it's not just one blessing. It's not just one filling. It's not just one answer to prayer that'll meet the need, but we need to be fresh, and we need to be filled. And we need fresh vision and all of those things. We need to be touched again by God. Yesterday's miracle could not meet today's need. Yesterday's vision and yesterday's burden and yesterday's zeal and the tears that you used to have and the prayers that you used to pray and yesterday's victories, I thank God for them. But man, we need something today. You need it and I need it. And our country needs to be touched again by God. I'm not running from my heritage. I'm thankful men of the past who were anointed by God. I'm thankful for Charles Spurgeon. I started at camp, Brother Bussey, I was telling you about it. Man, I've been reading Spurgeon almost every day. He's the man. And I'm thankful for Spurgeon and Moody and missionaries like Livingston and church builders like J. Frank Norris and pulpiteers like Harold Seitler and men like Brother Hiles. I'm thankful for the touch of God on their life. I'm thankful for their anointing, but their voice cannot meet today's need. There needs to be fresh devotion and fresh filling and fresh praying. There needs to be some young men in this room that'll say, Lord, give me what they had. Touch me again, God. I know what it is to be stirred. I know what it is to be fresh. I know what it is to have the power of God, but I need it again and again and again. Separate me, God. Shock me if you have to. Sight me. Put my eyes right on you. Show me your glory like Moses prayed, but God, would you touch me again? Yesterday's miracle could not meet today's need. We need some Bible college students. We need some preachers. We need some ladies that'll say, God, more than I want anything, I want to be touched again by you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Is there a serious-minded student that'll say, Lord, touch me again? I'm sure everybody in this room could go back to a time when God touched your heart. Everybody here could. God has done a work to bring all of you here, teenager, college student. God's done a work to bring all of you here. There's a time when he touched that heart of yours and when it was fresh and new. Hey, Lord, touch me again. Touch me again. Yesterday's prayer life isn't going to meet the need that my bus route has today. Boy, I'm thankful for Spurgeon, but Spurgeon's sermons aren't meeting the need in Hammond, Indiana today. We need to be touched again by God. For some of us, it starts and stops with that separation. We're not willing to pray the price. We're not willing to get alone. We're not willing to step out of the town and away from the camp. We always got to have something in our hand. We've always got to be by somebody. We've always got to have a conversation or 30 going at the same time. Friends, God's not going to touch your life like that. It's in the secret place. It's behind the closed door. It's in the closet where that desire in your heart comes out. Lord, touch me again. I don't want to have more zeal at 18 than I have at 45. God, I need to be touched again by God. Separate me, God. Shock me if you have to. Bring to mind those things that I've forgotten about. Bring to mind those wrongs that I need to make right. Surprise me, God. Lord, send me anywhere. I'll be fully surrendered. Sight me. Put my eyes right on Jesus, the only one that can restore, the only one that can meet the need.